terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in the proper time. Now catch this. Humble yourself before the Lord under His mighty hand, that He'll exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. God's not too busy for you to go, hey, God, I'm in the midst of it. Somewhere in there, that mama, that wife is saying, I just lost. Help, God. I'm going to be honest. That mother, that wife probably didn't care if they ever took AI or I, whichever way you say it, but they didn't care. They were mourning at that time. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Why? So I can just receive from God and take. No. So you can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering. No. I want to share in the victory cry. I don't want to share in the sufferings, but that's another story. Okay. So also our comfort abounds through Christ. Isaiah 12 and 1 says this. I don't have it on the screen, but O Lord, I will praise you, though you are angry with me. That's why they lost. Your anger is turned away. And you comfort me. In the idea of comfort, look what the Lord says to Joshua. See, I have given into your hand the king, and so on. God gives him assurance. Just after this defeat, what do you need? God gives him assurance of victory. I have done this already. I know you just lost one. But you responded correctly. I'm giving you the victory. And the word I find out is, see? See what? See, I've... Joshua, they just finished the funerals. See, I've given... See. That's why it says walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is the evidence of things... Yeah. Things not, well, wait a minute, so you're asking me to see. See what, God? Anytime I hear that, I'm reminded of the story, if you remember, King, it's Aram, I think it is going to sending guys up against the prophet, okay, Elijah. And they walk outside, and his assistants with him. Oh my gosh, look, we're outnumbered. Right, you know the story. And what does God open his eyes that he could see. And he opens his eyes and sees the myriad of the host. What's interesting is those hosts never attack. You need to read the story. They don't have to attack, but that's not. But that's what the thing's not seen. I have that this present darkness thing in my head, if you've ever read it. It talks about the things going on in the spiritual that we don't see. Okay, but so when he's saying see, he's saying see in faith. And faith comes by hearing. What does he hear God say? I have given this to you. He doesn't see it. It's not in front of him. In front of him is mourning widows and mothers. That's what's in front of him. But he hears the word of God and what God says. He also, by the way, gives him a quick response. By the way, if you're obedient, he gives him this idea. I'm giving this to you. You're supposed to do this. Oh, by the way, you get the spoils too. He's reminding him of that whole Deuteronomy thing. Disobedience, curses. Obedience, blessing. Okay? He's given, I'm going to be sorry, but I'm just going to ache, and if you just waited. Here, God promises him all the spoils. But Achan didn't like God's timing. It's not a message about that. So what God is speaking to Joshua is, believe my word. Believe my word. And calls Joshua to action. Take all the people of war with you. And then he tells him how he wants it done. So what to do? I want you to take the guys to war. All of them, not 3,000. Take all of them. How do you want to do it? Here's what I want you to divide your troops. I want you to send an ambush behind the city. Now, God doesn't tell him specific numbers, but he says you're supposed to divide up and send some behind. So he's got the call to action and the how to action. And you can see what Joshua says to his men when he gives them the plan. Verses 3-4, when he says, so Joshua and all the fighting men rose up to go to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them by night. And he commanded them, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city and behind it. Then at verse 8, it says this, then it will be then when you have seized the city, you shall set it on fire and do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you. What does he tell them? He says, do it God's way this time. Listen to me. I'm commanding. Go do it. Don't do it. Do it God's way this time. So he's hearing the word of God. He's believing that God knew what he was talking about. What an idea. And then tells the people. Now, these people didn't get a word from God. We talked about this before when Moses did the same thing. We talked about it at Jericho. These people don't get a word from God, but he says, do it God's way. So as they do this and go out at night, he adds another 5,000, by the way. Here he is. He sent 30,000. The rest are marching up that 15 miles about, and it's uphill quite a ways. All right. And so they're marching along, and as he's thinking about it, is 30,000 enough? God, you said ambush. We're ambushing. All right, God, I'm going to send another 5. And they camp between the house of God and the place soon to be named the heap of ruins. I don't know about you, but you've been defeated, and you're trying to work in victory. I'm going to be honest, you feel like you're halfway in between those two places, ruin and the house of God. You, even when you do come to church, after you come through that defeat and you're struggling, the depression and all that, and everybody else is worshiping, and you feel like God's 1,000 miles away. But they camp, though, between that place. That's where in the ravine there. And then verse 13, we find out this is where Joshua then, the people camp, then he comes out on the ravine alone. Now, if you remember, he had the same strategy at Jericho. If you remember, that's when he's out walking by himself, sort of scoping things out, and when he sees the captain of the host, he's by himself. He's gone back now to that quiet time alone before the battle takes place. Now, there is a lesson in there, folks. I know, God, he spoke to you, you know what he, but you better spend some time in the ravine by yourself at night. Now, hang on, if he's in the ravine by himself at night, what if the people send out some troops, just a platoon, is that 15, something like that? Out, you're Joshua by yourself. And you're in the low ground. If they come, I think one of the things he's doing at this point with God, this is my view, here's the thing. He's contemplating the stupid mistakes he's made before and going, I ain't going down that road again. How many of you have ever been there? Wait a minute. I'm going to spend some time with God. Make sure I'm hearing this right. Because I'm not going through that again. You know, I say of it when I, you know, I'm a bit, my wife would tell you, but she's not here today, so she can't verify it. I'm a bit stubborn. And I believe to this day that the accident I had that broke my back. Hello, listen. And I'm going, I'm not going down that road again. I make sure I get my time with God because I don't want him to have to break me again for me to listen. See, God wants us to learn from our mistakes and not be paralyzed by our failures. Failures can get you stuck as that fear to move grabs hold of you. And to me, the prime example of this is that. Peter, Satan today desires to sift you like wheat, and you will deny me three times. I don't think so. Yeah, Pete. But when he gets out of that garden tomb, and he says to those ladies, go tell Peter and the disciples, Peter, I don't want you stuck at denial. I don't want you to be stuck at the point of your failure. Peter, I've got more for you than that. I want you to understand it's intended to grow you, not freeze you. See, if the enemy can get you to give up, that's all he's got to do. He doesn't have to take all your stuff. He doesn't have... If he just gets you to quit, and I'm going to be straight, there are too many people sitting in the pew that's quit. Oh, you talk to them back when? Well, I was going to be a missionary. I was going to do this. I was going to open to that. I was going to do this. But defeat came. And they got off of their feet and got on their butt and haven't moved since. Pardon the vernacular. If you just give to give up, now I hope I have this. Anybody recognize that young man? Football player here. Basketball in his hand. Anybody recognize this guy? But he was cut from his high school basketball team when he was a sophomore. It was defeat, and he said, I will never feel that way again. Maybe this picture will help you out. Michael Jordan. See these fellows? Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, and Barry Bonds. Number one in home runs in Major League Baseball. Number two in home runs, Major League Baseball. Number three in home runs, Major League. And they're also high in the strikeout range. Somewhere near the 50, I calculate each one of these, went the 50% of the time, they failed. And the other 50%, when they hit, they didn't necessarily hit home runs. But any coach will tell you, if you get stuck on striking out, if you get stuck on dropping the ball, if you get stuck on the penalty that's called on you, if you get stuck, you will be paralyzed. We will throw you another pass. We will pitch you another pitch. We'll put you back in the game because I got to get you off the failure. This fellow was told this. He lacked the social graces and was nervous and awkward with customers. He was an ineffective salesman. I know you don't recognize that picture, but you might recognize this. Woolworths.
But he's an ineffective salesman.
So you know what happened? They stuck him in the stock room. And they found out he was really good at inventory and books. And he figured out he can sell stuff for a nickel. Yeah, he quit one firm, went to another, because they said he was ineffective. He wasn't effective over there, and the economy went bad, and he went back to these guys begging for a job because the other guys couldn't pay him anymore, and the economy was bad, and they says, we got stuff we can't rid of, and he says, let's put it on a table for 5 cents and see what happens. And his first store he opened didn't work, but his next one did. Anybody recognize this guy? He lacks creativity. He was fired from the Kansas City newspaper because he lacked creativity. Anybody recognize that young man? Maybe this will help you out. Walt Disney. Lack of creativity? Maybe he learned something from that failure. Here, those are just human examples. Human examples of people that were failed, that were labeled a certain... You ever been labeled? I'm not going to go through all the things people try to label me over time. Okay? Again, failure is not meant to freeze you, to cause you to be stop. And you'll forgive me, I put this in bold letters because I want to read it the way I said it. The effective Christian is not the one that fails the least, but the one who learns the most from their failures. The effective Christian is not the one who fails the least, but the one who learns the most from their failures. when we stop because we were discouraged, it's because we stopped having faith in God and His Word. Disaster, failure, whatever you want to call it, can be overcome by listening to God. To seek God's guidance and put that solution into action. I say that, put it into action. Over the years of pastoral counseling, is they come, they're looking for what God would want them to do to help in their situation. Thank you, Tim. Okay, and you open the Word of God and say, here you go. And who do I get? A cartoon character. Who do I get? Elmer Fudd. Yeah, but. I'm hunting yabbits. Yeah. I know God says it works, but not for me. I know God says if you do this, it works. When I was doing Matt's show, a lady calls in, and she says she's an agnostic, and she talks to me about on the radio a bit. And then afterwards, the lady behind the glass says the gal's called back and wants to talk to me. So I spent the next 45 minutes with her on the phone. And one of the things that listening to her, she grew up in church, but she learned moralism. If you do this, life's good. She found out life's not always good. So she quit on any kind of religion. Okay? So I began to talk to her about all kinds of things, but really when I come down to it, she's been listening to Matt's show for 2 years. I says, so how is your answers to your problems working for you? Well, life's okay. I have less problems now. Yeah, but you're still listening, which tells me you aren't satisfied with your own answers. You realize life good, life bad. Those aren't answers. So I began to talk to her about her own children. So how do you tell them what's right and wrong? Well, what if they disagree? Well, she had to agree that maybe she didn't have the answers. She was judging the value of God's Word by simple life circumstances. And you and I both, we could do this. We could pick out people who life circumstances didn't hand them much or handed them a lot of bad. And somehow these people are never defeated and never complain. Now, wait a minute. I know life's going to hand me stuff, but I sure hope I can go through the stuff like that. That's the difference. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But I want to be able to walk through that. Let me give you a couple other examples of biblical people that went through failure and made mistakes. The Abraham and Sarah model. You'll have to live with your mistake, but I'm going to try to do it God's way this time. The Jacob model. Face up to your failure with your attitude. Get some humility, some servanthood, wrestle with God a while. Insist that He bless you. Send your enemy a gift, and then be ready to take your lumps. God worked that out for him. Joseph, as in the Old Testament Joseph. Don't compromise with sin. Don't expect life to be fair. Do what you can where God puts you, even if it's in jail. King David. Face up to your failure, repent of your sin, take your punishment, receive your forgiveness, get up and move on. Come on, remember? Remember, he's in ashes and sackcloth and love. But because of his sin, the child dies. And when the child dies, he takes all that off. And they go, wait, what are you doing? Wait. He goes, yeah, I took my punishment. It's time to move on. Simon Peter, cry a lot. Demote yourself and go fishing. Some of the men said amen. And then when you hear God's voice again, feed his sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Oh, yeah. Do you love me, Peter? Yeah. Three times, feed my sheep. Right? It goes when the three times he failed, he comes along afterward. Now, wait a minute. You were defeated. You lost. You failed. And when Jesus sees you, do you love me? Yeah, you were looking right at me, weren't you? Are you wondering what I love? Feed my sheep. feed my sheep. Move on from that point, that failure. I have something else for you to do, Peter. And then I just like the Jesus model. Rise again and prove everybody else wrong. Get up from that place of defeat and see what happens. And then I'll end with these verses. Psalms 145 and 14. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by God. He delights in his ways. When he falls, he shall not be cast down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. That when it comes to my head, when your ones are little and you're walking, maybe you're walking, at least dads, we walk a little too fast, and the little one starts to stumble, but I'm holding his hand or her hand. They never hit the ground. Why? Because they're holding my hand, or I'm holding theirs. They're not holding your hand, you know that. Or when they go to run in the parking lot, but you got their hand, and they went to run, but there was that car that was coming, but because mom and dad was holding the hand. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. How many of you here are justified by faith? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory, in our suffering. I don't like that one, Eva. I want to complain in my suffering. Because we know suffering produces perseverance or patience. If you've been around here a while, what Greek word is that? Which means what? Cheerful endurance. Not endurance. Cheerful. Wait. I'm in suffering. Yeah, but suffering produces cheerful endurance. And cheerful endurance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Even in the loss, the defeat, the discouragement, I can endure cheerfully. I can be in prison and still sing. I can still put my faith in the word of Christ. I can still stand in his presence. I can still praise his name in a hospital bed. I can still, because I understood this, that hospital bed isn't my permanent place one way or another. There's something more than that. God didn't create death for us at all. And then as believers, it's not supposed to be fatal. Did you catch the oxymoron there? Death for us is not intended to be fatal. Defeat for the Christian is never intended to stop you. It's intended to teach you. But if Satan can get you to stop in fear, that's all he needs to do. Get yourself back. Oh, come on. When you're defeated, the last thing you want somebody to do is quote scripture to you. The last thing when you're defeated, you want somebody to invite you to prayer meeting. Come over to your house and start telling you how wonderful God is, because you just want somebody to wallow in your mess with you and tell you how bad it is. But that's how you keep the fear from getting you. That's how you keep the dismay, the word here, from grabbing hold of you. They're saying, okay, God, wait a minute. Let's do this again. Retake, rewind. But this time I'm going to do it your way. And it doesn't matter if it was my fault or whose fault or where it is. Philippians chapter 3. It's not in my notes anywhere. I think it's verse 13. Forgetting what was behind, I press on to the high call of God. I fix my eyes on the author and the finisher of my faith. I will not stay in a place of defeat. Why? Because my God is with me. He's on my side, even when the falter comes, even in the valley of the shadow of, even when his promises are true. Period. Let's stand. Father, perhaps there's someone today listening that defeat, the battle has come, they faltered, whether it's by their fault or someone else, and they struggle with the fear. Fear because of the past. God says, that is not my intent for you. Oh, Lord. Father, I ask you to right now to rebuke the liar that has come to tell this person they need to be in this place of fear. Lord, you rebuke the enemy. You bring the life and the truth of your word and your presence to their life at this moment, oh God. Deliver. Deliver from the paralysis of fear. God, teach us that when we falter, when the defeat comes, we can run to our Christ, who was tempted in all points as we were, but yet without sin, who was at the point of darkness where he shed tears and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He understands. We can run to you for comfort, and you can give us the plan for victory. To you be all the glory and the honor, O God. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.